The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Give us a shout. Text us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. We're joined by Joe Geruso, City Council member, District A. There were some amendments on the ballot last evening for dealing with the city, and he joins us to talk about that, the budget, and the Wisner Trust. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Noel.
So, Joe, let's jump right into the housing amendment. It passed. Your thoughts?
I was a little surprised by the margin by which it passed, Newell, and I kind of always dig into the numbers in District A to see what's going on. And candidly, I was surprised in the lakefront, which has oftentimes voted against millages and other things that are related to revenue, where the lakefront did not overwhelmingly vote against it. Which to me means a couple of things. That number one, there had to be a lot of people who said this is not a new tax and we support it, and that people felt comfortable enough with the way that this had been articulated to put it into the charter. So I think those are always major drivers when you're looking to do something. And the fact that, again, it did not pass in the lakefront, but it was not overwhelmingly defeated, like I've seen, for example, the sheriff's millage and the millage on early childhood education. So I think that messaging really must have resonated with people. And the other charter change on the workers' Bill of Rights, I was not surprised by that sort of at all. I kind of thought that sort of saying that people deserve dignity in their work and working for the city is important and making sure that we treat workers and contractors well was not really a surprise. And then, Newell, like, I will admit I am not a political scientist, but I also think if people are going into the booth and they feel good about two maybe of the measures, I think obviously the constitutional amendment passed overwhelmingly, the Bill of Rights passed overwhelmingly, then it's easier to be in a yes position on all three. So that's kind of what I think would happen, and I give people credit for working hard and having their messaging in place for those items.
What does the Bill of Rights actually do, though? Does it really do anything?
I mean, other than really say what I just said, which is the value, no, it doesn't really have a hard thing to do. So I think that also made it easier for people to say, well, okay, like, this is fine. And look, I think ultimately people say, if I can vote for something that either does not seem harmful or doesn't hurt anything, then yes. And I understand that this doesn't have a lot of punch of power or force of law other than sort of putting into the charter where that is, but it's not something that is going to be super expensive or really expensive much at all.
So let's shift and pivot to the budget process. Where do we find ourselves?
Well, we're at the critical point. As I tell people all the time, we're kind of like trying to land the plane right now. And in a way, this is sort of the hardest part of the whole flight. We've had takeoff. There's been negotiations. And I would say, I think between 80 to 90% of the budget, people mostly agree on internally and externally. It's always sort of at the edges that becomes a little bit harder, because that's where there's either disagreement and or it's a balancing of priorities. I think the major thing the council feels like, and that was demonstrated throughout the budget hearings, is that there are certain departments, such as Department of Public Works, Safety and Permits, and Property Management, that just don't have enough employees. And we can't expect the city to provide quality of life for people without having the requisite number of people there. And so there's going to be a push to get that done. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again tonight as we have our first budget meeting at Warren Eason for Districts A and B. You got to be careful with the numbers, and you know this. Safety and Permits on paper looks like it has more employees, and it does. But that's because there's been a shift of the Healthy Homes employees from another department into that one. Well, that's good, but it doesn't account for the fact that we have significantly fewer inspectors for electrical and maintenance and buildings. And so we need to put focus there too. So I think it's a long way of saying the people factor is incredibly big. And then obviously all the district council members are going to have asks, you know, either that are philosophical that they care about, but usually they tend to be more of the practical kind, like, I have this huge blight issue. I want you to help me with this. There's a path in my district that isn't connected. How do we get that taken care of in District A, in addition to the litany of ongoing infrastructure issues? Harrison Avenue is awful between Canal Boulevard and Orleans. That needs to be fixed pronto. So it's sort of elevating those things that district council members know in their districts are a problem, in addition to the writ large ones.
Joe, is there much of an appetite at the present time to think about right-sizing city government? I mean, I know we have a lot of pieces and parts that are scattered around, and have we ever thought about, you know, working on a table of organization, figuring out the numbers that we need to appropriately staff so that we have some goal to work towards? It seems like this is a series of shifting sands all the time.
Yeah, I think, listen, you and I have talked about this a number of times. I think there's two different things that are happening. Number one is there aren't enough people at some of the lower level jobs, and we absolutely have to have more people who can do certain types of work. I'll give you one example. The city had 4 vacuum trucks to clean catch basins, but did not have people who could man those trucks to do the work, or not enough people to do the work. And that's going to Sewage and Water Board, and they will hire people to do that, but that's not the way to operate a business. On the flip side, two things. One, Councilmember Thomas raised this point, that technology has changed, and we need to adapt to having that do certain things that you may not need other people to do. And secondly, I would prefer to pay one person maybe 30% more than have 3 people who all have the same job title and their work is split up, and maybe you don't have quite as competent people. So I think it's a little bit of all of the above, because, again, you have some departments to me that feel like they're starved of rank-and-file employees, and they desperately need that. And again, Department of Public Works is the prime example. And then there's other places where, hey, we need to think about what this looks like, and do we need so many folks everywhere at the same time? And if we're paying people at those, I would say, middle-level, high mid-level positions what they deserve to be paid, then do you need so many people doing those jobs?
You know, because as I look at the budget, I mean, it is heavily reliant on federal grants, federal dollars, state assistance, right?
I mean, we are. No, we have a little bit more than half of the budget is built on federal non-city generated funds. Sorry.
So when I look at that, I refer to that, and I know people get offended with it, but I call that the beggar's budget, the beggar mentality. Is there any concern as a result of last night's election, for example, if the Republicans control the presidency, the House, and the Senate, their philosophy is to look and try to deal with this federal debt structure that we have, and you know as well as I, the places you cut are the dollars that you begin to send down to the states, right? And the states, in turn, send it to local government. The Democrats historically have always been favorable of direct placement. That's kind of going to go away. The governor's going to have a lot of say-so in every federal dollar that comes down to this state. If I was sitting here in a Democrat city, I'd be really concerned.
I've had this conversation twice already this morning, Yule.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but you're right.
No, but I mean I'm encouraged to hear it because you can't wait for it to come to you. You got to prepare for it, right?
That's right. No, it's 100% right. Look, the reality is you're going to have a new president. You're definitely going to have a new Senate. You could have a new House. And so you know that means there will be philosophical issues, both with certain things being funded and just the nature of cuts themselves. And so of those, you have to think about these are the ones that are most likely to be on the chopping block. And then within that, what are we doing to conserve money to deal with some of this? And we have a high fund balance right now, but of course you got it, as you and I have discussed many times, you don't want to use that for recurring costs. And then of the things that are being cut, and there will be cuts from the federal government, no doubt about that, what are the ones that are mission critical that we have to say we're going to fill those gaps and flood the zone and just figure it out? And what are ones that we're just going to have to say we can't do this, and either the return on impact can't be demonstrated or this is so much more important that we have to pay attention to, we have to get this done. And that's going to be across the board when it comes to health and infrastructure and all of our departments. The smart department heads are asking themselves that question this morning.
Yeah, it's just kind of curious. I mean, I just kind of wonder how this is ultimately going to play out, because I think, you know, when we read the other day in the paper that we are talking about an electric vehicle mandate in the city of New Orleans, and we're off and running on this, and obviously I guess there's a desire that federal dollars were going to be coming our way, and that was going to help us get 40% of the vehicles registered in the city of New Orleans to be electric vehicles by, what was it, 2030, 2035. It's like, how much energy are we wasting on this? Because there's just so many other basic services and necessities that, you know, I guess are impacted by the fact that we're even thinking about this at this juncture.
Let's take the most basic, Noel, okay? This is the one that I think that everybody needs to be the most focused on. We have deadlines that are coming up with all of our FEMA-funded work that's here. And so for your listeners, mm-hmm. in my world, that means particularly the road work that's going on after Katrina, that Joint Infrastructure Recovery Program, and other things that have come in as a result of natural disasters. But there will come a point where potentially people will say, we've had enough giving the city money, or you've had your share, and that's it. And so the city, in my view, and this is kind of the way I operate, really kind of needs to have, this is a worst case scenario of cuts to these different departments. This is middle of the road, and maybe this is best case, and we're going to just make some very educated guesses. But as I said, I had a department head with whom I spoke this morning as we're preparing for the budget this year, who acknowledged that there will probably be grants plural that will not be renewed. And then what do you do about those employees? So the city has to figure that out. And look, you and I have also had this conversation many times over the years. I think residents, particularly in New Orleans, are frustrated with the cost of living has gone up, but the delivery of services has gone down. And so people just want to know, my sewage and water board bill is going to be correct. My pothole will be fixed in less than 400 days. My light's going to be changed. The grass is going to be cut. And I really think whoever, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but whoever the next mayor is going to be, my political advice to them would be, it's the quality of life, stupid. And that's where I'd spend all my time talking if I were campaigning.
Yeah, I mean, I talk to folks, and it's funny, but, you know, they say, man, I sure wish they would pick up garbage twice a week again.
Yeah, like, you know, okay, so can we talk about that for 1 second?
Every surrounding parish does, but, you know, we don't seem to be able to pull it together.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
You know, look, that's part of my budget presentation tonight, is we have a number. We don't put all the departments in the presentation because people aren't going to ask me a lot of questions about mosquito control, but sanitation's in there, and I'm going to get close to the numbers. In 2021, before Ida, the city was running a $600,000 deficit in terms of the revenue we collected from the fee that's on your sewage and water board bill, and then how much we were being charged by the contractors. Well, that all exploded for a variety of different reasons: the sizing of the contracts, the labor market, new equipment, et cetera. I think now, and I'm going to have to look at my slide, we're somewhere between $25 to $30 million behind on an annual basis. So think about it, not $600,000 to $1 million or $2 million or $5 million, $25 million. So the city's going to have a hard conversation with residents, and this is something I told them a couple of years ago, which is, if you know there's that big of a difference, you know there's that big of a gap, then there has to be a conversation of, all right, the fee has been $24 since 2012. That means we haven't changed it once in 12 years. What is it really going to be for once a week if you want to get to revenue neutral, because we shouldn't be making money on it? And then what does it look like for twice a week? And let people see the numbers and feel it and figure it out. But the bottom line is we have not raised the rate in a really long time. Other parishes have done it incrementally, and they're getting the benefit of that intangible as a result of moving the needle slowly so people see it. And I think people need to see in black and white what the difference is between 2021 and now 2024.
Well, I think there's a level of uncertainty that's out there that they feel, you know, as to the quality of service and execution. That coupled with the fact, and I hear this all the time, and don't sell the public short. And it was kind of what my monologue was about, you know, that we treat the voter sometimes as if they don't get it. There's an announcement almost every week out of the city of New Orleans that we have a grant program that we're giving away city dollars to some special interest group. You know, $2 million here, $3 million there, $5 million here, culture bearers there, this one over there, and everything else. And I say, well, wait a minute. If we can afford all of that, why are you asking me for an increase in garbage fees? You know, we're facing the increases in insurance. We're facing the increases in property taxes. We're facing all of these increases. Sewer fees had gone up. Now, you know, garbage fee. And we just simply asked for two times a week collection. But if we find ourselves that we can prioritize some of all of these other needs for people, but not sanitation, I think people think that there's something fundamentally upside down there. And I don't blame them. I mean, you know, and because there's a willingness to give money to everybody, you know, and it's like, well, what about us? You know, sanitation seems to be very, very important. Why can't there be a little juice and go back to here if it's 25 or 30 million? I think if you put that on the ballot, people are going to say, no, 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 finance garbage. Forget about all that other stuff. Because every taxpayer and citizen and every homeowner in this parish and every renter needs garbage picked up.
And trust me, having lived after Ida in elected office when it wasn't being picked up, one of the low points because people were so frustrated and such, maybe one of the most essential basic services. I will say this. I think both things are true. At one point, you can't run government.
Let me get to a break. Let me get to a break, and we'll come back, and I'll give you some time to answer that question. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870. We're visiting with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A. We were talking about priorities in the city. Joe, go ahead with your comments.
Yeah, all I was going to say is, I think both things are right. I think number one is you can't run government on flat fees forever and ever. Jefferson Parish raised their collection of trash services recently by a little over $10. At the same time, I also believe you can't just say we're going to throw money at something and solve it. Sometimes it's about you need to have the right people running it and you need to demand accountability. And look, I will also candidly say that I think sometimes we accept too much mediocrity and too many excuses for things when money isn't the issue. So it's that balance to me of I don't have enough people, I don't have enough resources to fill a pothole versus we're not holding people to account for making sure the light isn't being changed in 220 days or whatever the issue is. So I think you need both.
You know, it'd be interesting to see what would happen, Joe, if you adopted kind of the priority system of the state. You have your priority one projects and things that you need to finance, and you don't fund priority two until all the revenue's there for priority one. And you maintain the focus on those critical things to the city.
I think that's right. And then look, Newell, we've talked about this before too. The city's bonding capacity increases in a major way. So it's opportunity, but opportunity only works when there's good planning and foresight ahead. So how do you take that planning one and put state and federal money right on top of it to supercharge it?
No doubt, for sure. Joe, as always, totally enjoy the conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A. Have a great rest of the week and weekend.
Same to you. Take care, Neil.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.